Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is an old friend, New York State Assemblyman Jim Todisco, a Republican who represents New York's 112th Assembly District and a guy who keeps his eye on Albany all the time. Welcome, Jimmy Todisco.
Yeah, that's a real challenge to keep an eye on Albany all the time, but 99% of the time, maybe.
Well, it's true. We don't always have to agree on everything, do we, Jim?
We can agree to disagree on occasion.
Sure, just occasionally. So let's begin by asking you, Governor Cuomo has announced that he wants to do college classes for prisoners in several of New York's prisons, and I know that you have had some reaction to that, and we could duke it out, but why don't you start?
Well, who hasn't had some reaction to that? I get people coming up to me every place I go, probably like you do. You know, they want to give their opinions. And the last time I got this many telephone calls, emails, messages, faxes, letters, people walking up to me in the grocery store, the market, was really not too long ago. It was the last time the governor talked about a litmus test here in New York for who should be in New York and what kind of standards you should have to be in New York. And we got more calls on that than I think I've gotten.
And that had to do with conservatives, right? Wasn't there some part of that litmus test? Which
well,
says,
I don't know. You could say it had to do with conservatives, but I think there's a lot of progressives and liberals who don't believe 100% what you would define a liberal. There are a lot of conservatives who believe in some liberal things. You know, I think I'm a liberal in some issues, and I think liberals are conservative in terms of how you evaluate those two opinions. But, I mean, the governor is a bright and intelligent man, we thought, and I think he is. I mean, that didn't really make much sense, and I think the response overwhelmingly, I think even people on other sides of the aisle who don't see themselves as conservative think, you know, we shouldn't have a litmus test. This is a state where we pride our diversity and our tolerance, and there were more important issues to talk about, and those issues are people leaving the job market right now, not being able to pay their property taxes, not being able to pay their kids' tuition, and really to talk about social issues and have a litmus test about who should be in New York State and you don't belong in New York State. It didn't make sense for New York. It doesn't make sense for this nation. But having said that, the only thing I got more response from is this last proposal that the governor has put forth. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about the economic aspects of it. You know, we're giving $5,000 to people who break the law to get a higher education. But really, most of the responses I've gotten, I think we can put the economic issue, we can talk about that and discuss that and debate that. But it's the fairness issue. You know, some things, even if they add up economically, don't add up in terms of fairness to the people who are most important in this representative democracy, and those are the taxpayers and the voters. And let me tell you the three things that they think aren't fair about this. The first one is pretty obvious. These are people who have victimized other honest, innocent, law-abiding citizens in many aspects, have broken the law. You define them as criminals. A lot of people see this as a reward. I don't know how you would define it other than you've broken the law, you're in jail. The governor thinks that giving you a good education, paying $5,000 a year to give you a higher education, will make you an honest, law-abiding citizen. Now, what they say, of course, and you've probably heard this, look, my son or daughter, when they're going to go to college, not only has to find the way and the means and pay for it, they have to take out loans, exorbitant loans in many instances, which are going to mortgage their lives for the rest of their family's lives in living conditions. Honest, law-abiding citizens, that's not fair. Okay, we understand that. But secondly, every single student, high school student in New York State, has to compete with every single other student to get into a two-year school for an associate degree, to get in a four-year degree for a bachelor's degree. They have to compete with every other student. These individuals, I think what the governor is talking about, as long as they've got those high school credits, they can get into a four-year educational upper-level degree area. They can get into an associate's degree. They don't have to compete. So there's two areas which the public have talked, you know, this is unfair. We have to pay. We have to take out loans. We haven't broken the law, and we have to compete. But here's what they see as most unfair. When the governor says they'll probably, for the most part, become honest, law-abiding citizens, they'll have an opportunity, we won't get the recidivism, we'll save $60,000 a year, they'll go out with this degree and they'll compete and they'll get a job and they'll take jobs from other people. Well, doctor, who are they going to take the jobs from? The individuals who had to overcome those first two hurdles, who have to pay for their education, who didn't break the law, and who have to compete with other students just to get into the degree program. Now they're competing with them and taking their jobs away. This does not set well for, I think, most of us who are elected officials. And by the way, Angelo Santa Barbara, Democrat. Phil Steck, very liberal Democrat. All in opposition to this in the Capital Region. So it's not only a conservative thing. I think there's many people who don't understand the rationale for doing this in terms of the fairness. Now, you probably want to talk about the economic issue.
Go ahead.
Now, if the governor says this works, and I agree with him, education can be helpful, but an education also for people who have a certain mindset. You know, a lot of people say being a criminal is genetic in some nature, and you can make them better criminals. You know, I use the metaphor of Breaking Bad, of course, which I think was an interesting metaphor. This was a kid who was a high school student, was not a bright drug dealer, was not a good student. Walter White made him a very smart criminal, you know, taught him how to create better drugs, better meth, and make more money. So sometimes it doesn't work that way. But even if it did work that way, if we follow the governor's logic that a higher education makes you a better person, turns your mindset around so you won't be a part of the criminal element, why wouldn't you give all that money up front to kids that are in high school, ready to graduate, give them a better education? You won't have to worry about recidivism because they won't break the law and be a criminal in the first place to a larger degree. Wouldn't it be smarter to invest that $5,000? In fact, I'll be honest with you, we're thinking about what we would call an HPO scholarship program to give $5,000 to every high school student in New York State who wants to apply and go to college. And the HPO would stand for, guess what? Honesty pays off. If you haven't broke the law, you're a high school student, you want to go to college, why shouldn't we give you $5,000 to make sure you don't become a criminal?
Jimmy, there's another side to this, though, I think. And that is, we know from experiments like the Bard College experiment that the felons, who, as you put it, who sign up, that the recidivism rate goes way down. If it costs $80,000 to $100,000 a year to keep somebody in prison, it makes great sense to do that saving, as well as to rehabilitate. You know, so it seems to me, knowing what the reaction is going to be, that it was a somewhat courageous gambit on the part of the governor, no?
Two things about that. You know, I've seen statistics, I've seen research, I see college studies, and sometimes they can be skewed because sometimes the colleges are the ones who are going to be providing the services and are going to make the revenue from the $5,000 that the governor is going to be paying out. That may be the case, but don't you follow my logic that if we put this money and invest it up front, we won't have a need to be reaffirmed?
Well, why does it have to be either or? I mean, you know, you're not going to get me to say that you shouldn't give money to people to go to college because I think it's a great idea as opposed to some of the other silly places that we put money. So I like your idea, but I don't see why that means we can't do it also for the prisoners.
Well, I guess if we printed money like the federal government did, we could give every high school student $5,000 and also take care of those who are part of the criminal. But the fact of the matter is we're supposed to be problem solvers. What we're doing is dealing with a problem after it has taken place. Why not stop criminals from being created? If a good college education makes you a better person and stops you from breaking the law, why not do it up front? So over a period of years, we've reduced the criminal element that are in our prison systems. And isn't that what we want to do? Reduce the number of people that go to prison.
Well, why does it have to be one or the other?
Well, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree on that. There's a limited amount of money, and we want to invest our money in the best interest. And that's another point we should talk about, what's happening in New York State in terms of the altered reality, more so on a federal level, but also in New York State, the altered reality that we always have a revenue problem in New York State. And to solve this, we have to tax more and spend more. I don't think we have a revenue problem. I think we have a taxing and not spending problem, a spending priority problem in New York State.
Okay, fair enough. But let me ask you this. Are you sure that when this thing is in the dust and we're not talking about this anymore and somebody stands up on, let's say, your Democratic, more liberal side of the aisle and says, let's give every kid who's going to college in New York State $5,000, that Jim Tedisco will be the first one up there to say yes?
Well, I'm seriously thinking about if the governor actually follows through with this administratively, I will probably put in that piece of legislation.
Okay.
Honesty pays off scholarship, because I can't have people who are breaking the law get a $5,000 scholarship, not have to compete to get in a higher ed program, and tell to my family families and people want to send their kids to college. But they have to compete, and sometimes even if they have pretty good grades, they can't get into college. But also, they have to borrow and mortgage their lives to get this degree so they can be better people. So I would have to support that, yeah.
You know, I don't think it's any secret that disproportionately people of color populate our prisons. I would make the argument that it comes right up through from the beginning, from slavery right on up to where we are. And this seems to me to be a very good way of breaking the cycle.
Well, I think people of color certainly have bad economic straits. And I don't think they're criminals just because they're people of color. I think it's their economic situation and the fact that we don't provide, again, priorities in our spending. We should be providing opportunities for individuals to get in college at the high school level. African Americans, there are poor Caucasian individuals, but I don't think inherently that African Americans turn out to be bad people.
Nor do I.
Economic straits. And again, we should invest up in front to those individuals. Give them a good high school, a good college education, and maybe the governor will have a point. But I don't want to wait till they are imprisoned before I say, I've got to give African Americans and Latinos a good college education. Why can't I give it to them up front?
Okay. I know that you have been looking at the governor and his budget proposals, and I know that you have said the governor should stick to his guns on conservative budget promises. Do you think he's bailing out?
Well, I haven't seen him bailing out yet. We really haven't gotten to the nitty-gritty of the budget, but he's on the right track. You know, even if we freeze property taxes, you know, let's look at where we are in New York State. We have the highest property taxes in the nation. As they do the evaluations, we're number one in worst environment for creating jobs and the small business expansion, which creates 40% to 60% of the new jobs. And Dr. Shartok, you know,
you can call me Alan. We've been friends for a long time. You don't need to do that.
You know, by the way, before I go off the air, let me say, I think I told you about Mario Cuomo. I got elected around the time of Mario Cuomo. Now I'm here with Andrew Cuomo. If I'm here with his daughter as governor, I'll know it'd be time to retire. But one time, I think I told you this, I gave him an idea. I was chairman of a task force on child abduction and missing children. And I said, we should put the pictures of missing kids on throughway toll tickets, be the first state in the nation to have our transportation system track down missing kids. And I told you, he had a press conference with me. I was a sophomore legislator. And I couldn't believe he came and had a press conference. We put the picture of missing kids. We found the first kid. I asked him at the press conference, why did you come here with me? I'm a different affiliation. I'm a Republican. I'm a sophomore legend. He goes, Jim, it's the character, content, and quality of the idea you gave me. It was a good one. And then he said something I'll never forget. If a politician doesn't blow his or her own horn, there's never any music. And I took that to mean if you don't get a full airing of your idea, like the governor tries to do, like we all try to do, you can't get the support of the taxpayers, which are the most important quotient that's represented in the market. The long and the short of this, if a radio station doesn't blow his own horn, sometimes there's no music. I want to blow your horn. You've got me addicted to 90.3, which is the station I get you on. I mean, you have a not only interesting but informative, some great program that you provide, some great entertainment. And I don't think I've ever told you that, how often I listen to your station and how much I respect the diversity that you put on there and the information and the educational aspect of it. So that, and I also want to thank you for the work you do with the Legislative Gazette, our newspaper out there. You use a lot of college interns, don't you, for that?
We do. It's a training program for young journalists.
Let me tell you, they do a tremendous job, and that's a gold mine for us, because every week we can't see what other legislators, the Senate and the Assembly, is proposing, but we get to read that. They do a great job, the kids, but we know what the new policy proposals are and what the issues are. So I just wanted to tell you that.
And I welcome that, and I'm sure you'll hear your own words coming back to you on a promo on the air.
Well, that'd be great. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Hey, Jim, I want to go on for a moment, if I can, and I'm really very appreciative of those remarks.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you about these tax-free zones that the governor has proposed around the state and around SUNYs. I wonder what you think of that.
Well, I mean, any time we could do something to reduce and make us more competitive, reduce the tax burden that we have here, you know, I tend to think that it's a good thing, and that's a place where individuals might want to invest. You know, the biggest problem we have is we're treating the symptoms of a disease, and we're not curing the disease. What do I mean by that? We need to protect people who are in dire straits because of the economy right now. We have to keep our safety net there. We have to, you know, help them. They're trying to get their tuition for kids paid. They're trying to pay their mortgage. They're out of work. People have gotten out of the job market. So, you know, anytime we can help small businesses come to New York, come to a place where the educational setting can be symbiotic with the work they do, I think that can be helpful for them.
But why should they be tax-free while the guy in the barrel next door isn't tax-free and paying the other person's share?
That's a very good point. It's a double-edged sword. You know, one is silver, the other gold. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver. I mean, on the backs of the businesses that are here, our commercial base, we're helping out a lot of property taxpayers to the best we can. Not to the extent we should, but they pay a lot of taxes here in New York State. And, we want to keep them in New York State. I was listening today to an economist who said we lost $58 billion of taxable income over the last 3 to 5 years, where individuals and businesses have picked up and left the state of New York. So, I can't tell you one way or another if it's a big winner or a big loser. It's probably marginally a fairly good thing, because anytime you can be competitive and bring people in and show them that you're reducing that burden, because one of the things I was getting to a while back was that Tax Freedom Day for us in New York State, we're second in Tax Freedom Day. You know what Tax Freedom Day is?
Sure.
Alan, that's the day when you and I and everybody who gets a salary in New York State takes $1 home that they could put and invest in their savings account, pay their kids' tuition, or pay their mortgage. For the first 4 months and 6 days in New York State, every single taxpayer's dollars goes to state, local, and federal taxes. Only Connecticut has May 10th. They have the longest Tax Freedom Day. On Tax 7th, everybody stands up and says, "Freedom!" But it took 4 months to get that freedom to take
okay.
a dollar home. So anytime we can be competitive, I guess that's the point.
Jimmy, we're running out of time, so I want to get you on a whole host of things. So this is the lightning round. Ready?
Yep. Medical
marijuana.
Well, we've got a lot of kids right now who have epilepsy. There's a portion of this medical marijuana, a product of that you can give to these kids who really can help them with the seizures that they receive on this. So I think if it's done correctly, if it's only for medical care, if we're not creating drug addicts who will move on, it's said that it's a bridge drug, that you move on to higher drugs. But for medical purposes, if we structure it properly, that is something I believe I can support. And people are in pain if it's effective. And kids with epilepsy, if it helps seizures, let's go for it.
But what about recreational?
I cannot support recreational marijuana. I just think that the research is really lends towards it being a bridge crime, where individuals move on to other higher drugs, heroin. We know we got a heroin increase in here. Vermont has a terrible problem with those types of things, Massachusetts, other states, and I just don't think it's a good message.
Okay, pre-K for every student in New York.
I'd like to have kindergarten for every student in New York before we go to pre-K. We talked about spending priorities. Let's give kindergarten to kids, and then we can move on to pre-K. But you got to walk before you run.
Casinos in New York.
That's a done deal. The voters have decided. I voted to allow them to decide. Now we've got to do the right thing with allowing them to have input on where they're put and placed, and to see if communities want it. If they want it, I think it makes sense to have it.
So I believe your district, in Saratoga, the people voted against it in the amendment, but they may well get it anyway.
Well, that's why I think they should have some say on where it goes. They're between a kind of a rock and a hard place. They have a Racino there. The Racino has done very well. Now, the question is, there were two different votes. The first vote,
Tell everybody what the Racino is, just in case somebody doesn't know.
Racino is a poor man's casino.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have the real slot machines. It has the lottery-type games. It has trotter racing at it, and it helps provide tourism there in the city and does very well, and the downtown people, I think, are pretty happy with it, the other businesses. Now, the question is, do you want to get competition for that in Albany, Troy, Montgomery County, Schenectady, or anywhere else, which may have a profound impact on that success? Because if you could go to a racino or a casino and you're a real gambler, you're probably going to go to a casino. So that's a difficult question. It's a different question than statewide, voting for statewide, or do I want to have competition against something that's been effective? But others make good points. Is it going to take away from the other small business? So it would have to be tailored, right, I think. But there should be input from the local municipality there.
Okay, so 50 seconds on this. I know that you've got a bill that it should be a felony to leave dogs out in the freezing cold with no place to stay warm. I'm certainly with you on that, but I wonder if you could give us a few words on that.
Yeah, we had this Spraker situation. We have these puppy mills right now. Off the blood and the terrible treatment of animals, overbreeding, things of this nature. Look, I like small businesses. I think reputable breeders. But making sure that people who, this bill not only provides for shelter, for sustenance, for food, but also hydration. That's a terrible way to torture an animal. And we have to be a voice for every individual, every creature in New York State, those who have voices and those who have no voices. And we should make it a serious penalty if you're going to do this to individuals and make them suffer in this way. So hopefully we can get that passed. And by the way, animal advocacy, the fourth one, we made history by doing that 4 years ago, is May 28th this year. So everybody is invited to that. So we can show that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can support human beings, but we could also be a voice for our companion pets, which provide us unconditional love.
Single-payer health care. Dick Gottfried, our friend, the chair of the Health Committee, and State Senator Bill Perkins have come out with a universal single-payer health coverage plan. How do you feel about that?
Well, they have to prove to me that it's going to be effective. Like they should have proved, you know, Nancy Pelosi said, well, we have to pass the bill, and then we'll find out before we really read it and understand it. I think we're finding out exactly. There are some difficulties with these types of things. I'd like to see the proposal, have it vetted fully before I would support something like that.
Okay. And one last thing. There's something called Common Core, which has been laid out nationally in terms of educational standards. I don't think we have a lot of time. We've got a couple of seconds to talk about it. Do you have any issues with that?
Terrible rollout, was implemented very badly. There's privacy issues. There's testing issues. There should be a moratorium, and we should work on fixing how we roll it out.
So you're in the minority in the New York State Assembly, a basically endangered species. But the Senate is narrow in terms of Republicans and Democrats. What accounts for the difference, just the way that the districts are drawn?
Well, I think when you're in the majority, obviously you have the ability, as the Assembly majority has been able to do, is to gerrymander the districts to your advantage every single time that this happens, and it happens every 10 years. So in between those every 10 years, because I think we have a great agenda for the public, we build our numbers. We were up to 51 at one time. After this last redistricting, right now we're back down to around 40 or 41. There are some open seats which we have to run special elections in. So as the Republicans were in the majority, they were able to do better in a very blue state by making districts competitive.
You mean in the Senate?
In the Senate, yes.
Right.
The Republicans in the Senate, in the majority, are able to hang on in a very blue state because they're able to make some of the districts more competitive for themselves. We're not have the ability to do that. When the negotiations take place, there's the majority in the Assembly and there's the majority in the Senate. So we're going to be battling every 10 years to stay alive, and then during the middle of those 10 years, I think we do very well. I think this is going to be a good year for the Republicans. I think it's kind of like a year where Obamacare was very popular when it first came out, but they're seeing the results of it now, and I think that's going to have probably a negative impact on their side of the aisle.
Jim, one last question, a yes or no. Are you still having fun?
Listen, I wake up every morning, and I'm excited to get out of bed and go to work, and I think it's just like you. When you wake up in the love, you love the job you do, you love standing up and speaking for your constituents, you want to continue to do it. When I wake up some morning and say, Jim, you don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to stand up and make the fight. You're outnumbered 3-1. And by the way, being outnumbered 3-1, there's going to be an important question on the ballot, which I got there, which is going to save us $50 million a year, and that's going digital in New York. So the governor was right. It's the character, content, and quality of ideas that could make things happen. And I think I've been pretty effective on putting those forth and marketing them.
The next time we have you, I know you're vigorously in favor of some major ethics reform in the New York State Legislature. We'll talk about that the next time. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for doing this. It's great to have you. I don't agree with you on everything, but hey, that's what makes it all interesting.
Well, it's always great to be with you. And as I said, I meant it. I wasn't just blowing smoke.
No.
You do a great job, and keep it up. We enjoy the entertainment.
You are not a smoke blower. We're out of time. Our guest has been New York State Assemblyman Jim Todisco. Again, Jim, thanks so much for being with us on the Capitol Connection.
Thanks.
Capitol Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of the Capitol Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for the Capitol Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare. Online at nysut.org.